Welcome to the Church of the Pines weekly podcast. We're so glad that you joined us. If you have any questions about our church, how you can get involved, or how you can support, please visit churchofthepines.com. We hope that you enjoy this week's message.
I know that we're all in different places in our spiritual journey. We're all in different places in our relationship with the Lord, and both in natural seasons and in spiritual seasons. Paul had come to a place where he said, everywhere God leads me and everywhere I go, it is in victory. It's in triumph. I think it's so appropriate. That's the songs that we were singing this morning. He says he leads us in triumph everywhere that we go. And in other words, he's saying we don't show up anywhere on accident. And God doesn't lead us anywhere on accident. But as I follow God and I do what God tells me to do and I say what God tells me to say, as I live that kind of life, there's no way that I can lose. That's a great lesson for us all. He says, and in that, he says, through us, Christ diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. We're diffusers. How many of you have diffusers in your home? I mean, have you got some kind of smell good, something that takes a solid core scent and diffuses it, whether it's through sticks or wicks or whatever it is. It kind of takes that core smell, that concentrated smell, and it diffuses it throughout the house. So everywhere that you go, you're smelling it. He says, that's what we are. He goes on to say, for we are the fragrance. To God, we're the fragrance of Christ among everyone, really. Among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. And we've kind of been on this thought, this essence that there is that when you look throughout the Bible, you know, Jesus was in the beginning. Like John 1:1 tells us, they don't have the scripture for this, John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word. Jesus, a capital W if you look it up in the Bible. It's Jesus in the beginning was the Word. And that Word was made flesh in Jesus. And the Word was with us, and the Word came, and he dwelt among us. Jesus was there in the very beginning. So you see Jesus in Genesis, and you see Jesus all the way to Revelation. This morning with our dream team, that's what we call our volunteer team here at the church, we kind of have our own little early service, little mini service, and I read to them every chapter in throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, what Jesus looks like in each one of those chapters. Jesus is the thread that carries from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. And if you've been struggling with how to read the Bible, look for that thing. As you open up and you're looking at a prophet book like Obadiah, you're like, oh, what's Obadiah got to say to me from 2,500 years ago? Look for Jesus. Look for Jesus in those Old Testaments. He's through the beginning, from the beginning to the end. He has an essence, that the essence of Jesus is sprinkled in every book of the Old Testament, in Psalms and Proverbs. The essence of Jesus from a concentrated source is sprinkled in every bit of our New Testament. And Paul's saying, we carry that essence as well. That everywhere that we go, that he did that as a missionary for the early church, and we're called to be the same thing as Christians, as believers, for those of you who are here today and you are across Christ followers, we're called to live in a way that his essence, his aroma, his scent oozes from us, and that we are that fragrance to everyone else. It's not up to us what they smell. It's just up to us that we are putting it off, that we're passing the sniff test, if you will. How many of you have something? I already asked you that. How many of you have something in your home? You have a diffuser. Maybe you don't have that. You got like a candle, or you got a favorite scent or something like that. You got something that smells good, that you like to smell. My parents, it's funny, my parents aren't together anymore. They split up, but in both of their houses, they use the same fragrance to smell their houses. I think that's so funny. And it's, I preach on that all day long. But it's this lavender scent, and it's so refreshing. And Angela and I had a little getaway at the first of the week, and we go into that house. It was a bed and breakfast in Palestine. We go in there, and I walk in there, and he had that same scent in his house. And immediately, you just walk in, and it smells like home. Feels like home. I said, "What is that?" He said, "It's lavender." I said, "I know. I just had to check." I was with some minister friends. We took some students to a conference this past week. And several of my minister friends were there, and there's a father and son, and they always both just smell so good. They got the cologne game is strong in that family, always smelling awesome. And then another friend of mine came in, and he smelled the exact same way. He's not even in the family. So we got to get their phone number. I got to text them because I got to know, what is that? And I think that that's how Christ wants us to live. That's what Paul's talking about, that there is something coming from us. There is a scent, there is an aroma, there is an essence that makes other people go, ooh, what is that? I got to get me some. I don't care if it's $150, I'm going to get some of that. That might be too rich, but I hope it's not, because I want some because it smells really good. And I just think smells, they can really play a big part in our lives. In my study at home, I've got a room. Some of you have been to our house. You've seen it. And in my desk, I've got a candle. It's evergreen scented. It's a pine tree smelling candle. When I'm up there studying, I did this yesterday. I'm up there studying. It's a 3-wick candle. Smells so strong. I light it because I love that smell. And it reminds me of the vision and the mission that God's given us as a church. We call it an evergreen life, that God's called us to live in such a relationship with him that it's full and it's vibrant 365 days a year. You know why? Not just so that we can live a good life, but that we can stand out among a dark and dying world. We've been called to stand out. We've been called to put off an aroma. We've been called to put off a scent. That's what Paul's talking about. And we've kind of been on this scent, on this aroma thing. But you know what else I have up there in my room? I've got other things. It's not just smells. I've got the candle, but also on my desk, I've got a picture of my daughter and I, both in our Evergreen Life t-shirts. We call it Evergreen Life. And we got our Evergreen Life t-shirts where I baptized her here at this church. The first baptism that we had here, just like in those pictures. That wasn't my daughter, but just like that. You saw her jump out of the water. It was freezing cold that day, and that water was like 50 degrees, so it was brutal. But I've got that picture there to remind me of why we do what we do, why I do what I do for my family. I've got up there in my study, not only do I have the candle that smells, and not only do I have that picture of me and my daughter, I've got a map of our city on the wall. That as I'm preparing and as I'm studying and I'm praying and I'm looking over the loop and the outer loop and all of the streets, and I look over this spot on the map where we're located, I know exactly where it is on the map where this movie theater is. I pray over this movie theater and what God wants to do here in the church, that I've got things around me to remind me of who we are and what we've been called to do, of the mission and the calling that God has placed on my life. And I encourage you to find those things in your life, to find those things that can be those mementos. We do baptisms. You see baptisms coming up next week. And when you do baptisms, we take a picture. We take a lot of pictures. And those pictures are available to you. Maybe you print that off and you put it in a frame and put it somewhere in your house to remind you of that day that you made a public declaration of your decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you get a Bible and you put a writing or an inscription in the front of it. Angela's got hers in here to remind you of the things that God's done and where he's left you, that you have those mementos. But then on top of that, I believe that God's called each and every one of us to be a memento in other people's lives. Like God's placed me in your life to remind you that this is the life he's called us to live. God's placed this church and this worship team and these people in your life to remind you to live a life surrendered to him, to help point you to what worship looks like, to help lead you in a lifestyle of worship and putting God first. But it's not just been called to us as ministers to lead you in that way. God's put you where you are, in your family, as a parent, or as a son, or as an employee, or as a student, or as a grandparent, whatever season of life that it's your, that's the thing about our evergreen life, full and vibrant in every season. Now, regardless of what season of life you're in, you can be the aroma, you can be the memento, that you are a living picture of, as our overseer and my good friend Charles Kelly says, that you are that person who's showing them what this thing's supposed to look like. My friend Charles, he's cowboy buckle, cowboy hat, full on cowboy guy. That's what he says. We're called to show people what this thing is supposed to look like. And I've been thinking this all week, and I wasn't sure if I was going to say it, but if you're here today and that has not been your Christian journey, like you've been around church or you've been around Christians and they've been a memento of what it's not supposed to look like, That they're really a memento of every bit of pain and hurt that you've experienced in every other arena and facet of your life. I just felt like God wanted me to apologize to you on their behalf. Because it's better than that. It's better than that. And we've been called to live higher than that. And I'm inviting you, no matter what hurt you've experienced, no matter what pain you've been through, I'm inviting you to take a step up. I'm inviting you to take a step beyond that. Just take a step out of all of that junk and just a step closer. We believe in next steps around here. You'll hear it a lot. And I'm just inviting you to take a next step into a closer relationship with God. Jesus even said, you know, we've kind of been hanging on the essence, the smell, the aroma thing. But Jesus also, like, he gave us some examples and some other things that he thought that we ought to look like. I don't know if it's metaphors or simply metaphors. Gave us a couple of other metaphors of what our Christian life should look like. In Matthew chapter 5, they're going to put this on the screen. You've probably heard this if you've been around church for any amount of time out of Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to share it with you today out of the Message paraphrase because I think it accents it so much better. But Jesus teaches the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. He teaches all those things. And then, remember that moment? It's a memento. Remember that day when the speaker slid down? Yeah, that's cool. That's today. Today's the day for that. But he does all that, and then he goes on to say, we want to be blessed, and we want to experience all that, and blessed are the poor, and blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, all that kind of stuff. But then he finishes it up, and next he says, let me tell you why you're really here. You want to know what this is really all about? He says, you're here to be salt seasoning. That brings out, look at this, I love it, the God flavors of the earth. He's, you know, we always say we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Yeah, but what does that really mean? We're supposed to add some flavor. That we're supposed to be an aroma that brings a scent into the world of what Jesus looks like and what it means to be a Christ follower. Jesus says, you're to be salt seasoning that brings out God flavors in the earth. And if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. So let's stay salty. Every now and then, it's okay to be a little salty. Everybody, we need a little flavor. And he even says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Have you ever shined a bright light on a prism, or maybe you've had it in your backyard and it shoots off and out of that just comes multicolors. And I think that's kind of what brings us to what we've been talking about is the essence of Christ. You know, it's not just one thing. Like, we can't just camp on faith, that the essence of Christ is faith. And we've talked about that, that is really, we're going to be people of faith, that we're going to believe God for the impossible things, that we're going to believe God to do the impossible, that we're going to believe him for bigger and better than we've ever seen before. We're people of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he also says, but another essence is hope, that we're people of hope, that we don't give up, that when everything seems lost and when it seems like nothing's going right and it's never going to happen, I'm never going to be close to God. I'm never going to experience what I believe that he's put on my heart. My family's never going to change. My job's never going to change. My heart's never going to change. My depression's never going to go away. The sickness is never going to go away. That even in all of that, we remain hopeful. That we just don't give up. We're not quitters. It's the essence of Christ. Faith, hope, and love. That we're people of love. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks in depth. Because it's really vital. But that we're people of love. That regardless of how people act, that we don't love them because of what they do. We love them because of who Jesus, because Jesus died for them. Everybody is somebody that God loves and that Jesus died for. And we can never lose sight of that. We talked about the essence of Christ is truth. That there is truth, there is undeniable, hardcore truth that is black and white in a world that wants to make everything gray and 50 shades of it. We got to be people who stick to the truth. That there has to be some truth. If we don't have truth, then we don't have anything to stand on. But then the balance to that is we can't just be all truth all the time. Right? That's an essence, there's more than one. So there's the essence, also there's his truth, but then there's grace. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And that's what we talked about last week, was just grace. that maybe people aren't where we want them to be and where we think they ought to be, but it doesn't mean that we don't love them. It doesn't mean that we don't care about them. It doesn't mean that we don't serve them. Because Christ died for you while you are still a sinner and far from him. God sent Jesus to die for you. And if he can do that for others, the least that we can do is give a little grace to that person who's not driving fast enough around the loop. Hey, just stay off the horn, everybody, okay? It's not that serious. So there's faith, there's hope, there's love, there's truth, there's grace. And then I thought another essence of Christ and what I want to spend a few minutes on today is healing. The essence of Christ is healing. If you took out all of the healing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is really where you have Jesus, we call it the Gospels. If you took out all the healing miracles out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would not have very much Gospels left. It's a huge part of gospel. It's a huge part of Jesus' ministry was healing. Everybody say healing. The essence of Christ is healing. And I think if we're going to be light that brings God colors, and if we're going to be salt that brings God flavors, then we've got to be those who bring healing to situations. Maybe today you're here and you feel healed and God's done a great work in your life and done wonderful things in your life. Can I tell you, healed people, you know what they do? Healed people heal people. You know what hurting people do? They hurt people. That's why it's so hard to heal them, because they're hurt. But we need to be people who reach beyond that, who see beyond that, and full of grace, love, compassion, faith, hope. We push through all that and we bring healing to the hurting. That's what we see in Jesus' ministry. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, he identified himself in front of a whole group of people. He said, in case you didn't know, is what Jesus said. I don't know what you think about me, but let me tell you today, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. To sum it all up, he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came to bring healing. Another word, when you look it up in the Greek, another word for healing is wholeness. Jesus came to make us whole. And maybe that's something that you're experiencing in your life. Maybe you're not whole. Jesus wants to bring healing in that wholeness. Disease, he wants to heal all diseases. We're going to look at that in Psalm 103. Matter of fact, let's just go ahead and look at it right now. This is David in the Psalms. He says, praise the Lord, my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, I believe that there's a whole group of people out there who want to tell you that there is no benefit to serving the Lord. And why I tell you, I do not serve the Lord because there is a benefit. There is. And you can't read the word without it. We say we love God and we love the things that he loves. And if he never did another thing for us besides die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins so that we could have an eternal relationship with him, that would be enough, wouldn't it? Christians, it would be enough. But you know what? He's better than that. And just when you thought it was good, it can get gooder. Maybe gooder doesn't look like we think it does. Gooder isn't always how we would want it or what we would want it to be. But thank God he's the God that can take everything in our life and turn it around for good. He doesn't cause all issues. He doesn't cause all problems. People say, well, I'm not going to go there. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I think it'll be. God doesn't cause everything and cause every destruction. But thank God he can take everything that happens in our life, the Bible says, and he turns it around for good. It can be gooder. He says, forget not all his benefits. So what does he do? He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. And sometimes we can get trapped up in our little small Merriam-Webster's dictionary definitions of what these are. But when you really just kind of look at this word diseases, you split it in half, and what is it? It's diseases. You got any dis-ease in your life? Maybe it's not physical. Maybe it's not a sickness. Maybe it's up here. Can I tell you, a lot of people are dealing with it right here. A disease of offense, a disease of anger, a disease of control. We have a lot of dis-ease, a lot of things in our life that cause us dis-ease. And from cancer to bad attitude, he wants to heal it. He redeems our life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm 43. I'm getting close to almost to the halfway point of my life. And every year he's renewing my youth. How many of you want some youth renewed in your life? Heals all our diseases. Peter said it like this in the book of Acts. He says, you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So I even think we can see in this scripture, when Peter's identifying that everything that Jesus dealt with was some kind of demonic oppression. He's healed every person who was oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. And I think one of the biggest testimonies of our life is that wherever we are, wherever we go, that we bring everything that we've talked about, that essence, that we bring truth, that we bring love, that we bring faith and hope and grace. But let's bring healing. If we are there, they can say, hey, he brought healing. Why? Because we're so good? Because God's with us. That's Jesus' ministry. Jesus did everything he did because God was with him. And I'm not saying that every one of you are going to walk out of here today and you're going to pray for healing for somebody, because I'm going to challenge you to do it. But I'm not saying that you're going to walk out of here and every person you touch and every person you pray for is going to get healed. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that when we press into who God is and what Jesus' ministry was on the earth, and when we want to look at what is the core essence that makes up the fragrance of Jesus' ministry and the church, you can't leave out healing. It's a vital, important part of the ministry. And if it was important in Jesus' ministry, it's an important part of our ministry. It's an important part of who we are, that we bring healing to the hurting, that we bring wholeness, I said, is another word for that, that we help people who are fragmented. We help them become whole. God can do it on his own, but you know what he wants to do? He wants to use people. You are that memento. Remember what we said a few minutes ago? You are the memento. God wants to use you as that frame of a reminder. God wants to use you as that map on the wall. God wants to use you as that pine-scented candle on the desk of somebody's life. God wants to use you to bring the fragrance and the hope of healing into the lives of the people in your world. He wants to use you. To which we could say, well, how? How do I step out and do that? How do I begin to be a minister of God's healing to a hurt and broken world? Again, we're talking about everything from mental, emotional, physical. There's all kind of dis-ease and there's all kind of hurt that needs to be healed in the lives of the people around us. And there is no just one hard, fast rule. Jesus brought healing a number of ways. Jesus took spit, made mud pies in the ground and stuck it in people's eyes. That's really weird. Matter of fact, they made a movie recently about Mary. It had Joaquin Phoenix in there. I don't know if you even heard of this. It kind of went under the radar. But they made a movie about Mary. And they did, in that movie, they reenacted this miracle of Jesus making mud and rubbing it in this blind guy's eyes so that he could see again. And this is so far-fetched. This is crazy. Do you know about this? This is so far. I'm asking Chris, my brother-in-law, our worship leader, because he's a movie guy. So the guys in the movie and Joaquin Phoenix, the actor, thought, that is so crazy. Why would anybody ever do that? And they made the movie, and they didn't do it like that. They just said, that's stupid. He actually cussed in the quote that I saw. Like, that's messed up. But that's what Jesus did. just to point out that there is no one hard, fast rule for how we bring healing to people's lives. And I'm not going, this isn't a healing school today. I'm not going to tell you how to go lay hands on or pray for the sick. My encouragement to you is this week, go open up your Bible. Can I just be a tour guide that points you to something that maybe you could spend some time studying on your own? Go look up healing in the Bible. There's 30-something healing miracles that Jesus did just in and of himself. John said that if all the miracles that Jesus did were written down, there's not a book in the world that could even contain it. Because he's a healer. And he wants to use you to bring healing. The essence, the aroma of healing. So how do we do it? How can we be the essence? How can we be the color of? How can we be the salt of healing in the lives of the people in our world? And the first thing that you can do is you can be aware. Let's just be aware. I mean, that's a great start, right? Like, we're running around thinking about me all the time. It's so funny because I had this message. I got halfway to church this morning, realized I had forgotten some very important keys that we needed to have church. So I called Angela. I turned around. We had a meeting point. She met me, and I stopped at the gas station to wait for her, and there was a guy in the parking lot with his hood up. And I thought, here I'm about to preach a message talking about being aware of the hurting and the issues on around us. There is no way that I can sit in my car and not go see if there's something that I can do to help this guy. So I did it. He didn't need anything. There was a kitten stuck in the engine. And I couldn't help with that. He was trying to get it out. But I was aware. I was aware that there's a man over there with the hood up. Can I help? There's this passage in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. I encourage you to go read this story later. We got it. We're going to put it on the screen. It says, one day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer. So this is book of Acts. Jesus has already gone to heaven. These guys are walking around being the aroma of Christ in the world. This is one day Peter and John, they were going up the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And now there was a man who was lame from his birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And I just want to stop right there. They looked at him. They didn't just walk right by him. How many times I'm guilty of the same thing? There's no judgment here. But there's people, we pass by them all the time. They're standing there. We know that there's something. Like there's something on the inside that's saying, hey, that person needs something. Why don't you ask them? Got somewhere to be. Got somewhere to go. Right? I got to go to church. I can't stop and ask. I got to get to church. It'll make me late to church if I stop and ask them if they need something today. But just being aware. What's interesting, I think, about this story is that he was there every day. And I think Peter and John, I mean, like, they went to church. I think they were there most of the time. What is it about today? But today they were aware. I mean, encourage you, number one, just be aware of the people that God's placed in your life. Be aware of what's going on around you. So they were aware. They looked at him. And then Peter said, hey, look at us. So the man gave him their attention, gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter says, silver or gold, I don't have. You're here begging for alms. That's what he was there for money, every day. Hopeless. Couldn't walk. Struggling. Somebody had to bring him and set him down. All he wanted was some money. Peter's like, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I give to you. Now let me stop right there. First thing you got to do is be aware, but the second thing is to be willing. Can we just be willing to be used by God? I mean, I know we don't all get it all the time. We don't understand everything. And even the Bible tells us that on this side of eternity, we're never going to understand it all. It's never all going to make sense. Peter and John, they even in other parts of the Bible, we talk about this all the time in our membership class in Next Steps. That you heard about in the news, that the Bible word for these that they used for some of these early disciples was idiotates, that the people saw the disciples and they recognized that they were ordinary, unschooled men. Idiotates is the word in Greek, which is the word idiots. That's what we use today. They were just bumpkins. Who are these guys? Ordinary, unschooled. The defining mark of these guys was that they had been with Jesus. And I know that they saw Jesus do the miracles, and we think that's the key, is to seeing the power of the miraculous healing and the miracles. You know what I really think they saw in Jesus' ministry more than anything else? Was that he was willing. Because people came to him all the time. Jesus, can you heal me? Yes. Jesus, if you're willing, make me whole. I'm willing. Be cleansed. That they saw him stop what he was doing. You read through Jesus in the Gospels. Time and time again, Jesus stopped what he was doing to minister to bring healing to somebody who was hurting. The disciples saw that. They were aware. They were willing. It's important that we be willing. We talk about aromas. We talk about mementos. We've talked about all that kind of stuff. Can I tell you, I think we've also been called to another analogy that I wanted to use was that we could bleed a little bit. Like how much equity did Jesus put in it? Jesus put all of it in there. Peter and John, both of these guys experienced tremendous persecution because of their faith and because of what they did. And you may never have to bleed physically for your beliefs. Thank God for it. But can I tell you, I think there is something that we could bleed a little bit. We always say we're called to believe. We say we're not just called to believe. We're called to belong, right? We say that. I say we're not just called to believe and we're not just called to belong. We're called to bleed a little. We're called to let some of what's in us come out into the lives of others. Got to be willing. Mark 1:41, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion. A man said, if you're willing, make me whole. Jesus said, it says he was moved with compassion. I am willing. Be healed. Can I tell you, that's what the disciples saw. But here's what brought it all together. This is what it's going to take for each of us. It's to be bold. Let's be aware. Let's be willing. But then it just takes a little boldness. And I'm not. You I don't know, you can think a lot of me standing up here on this platform talking to you like this every week. Don't think too much of me. Because outside of this setting, I'm not as bold as I need to be. Just not. Most of us aren't. But can I tell you, I know for my life and for many of our lives, if we want to see God do the things that we've never seen him do before. Then you post that on Facebook this week. One of my favorite quotes, Daniel, our keyboard player on Facebook, he said, if we want to have what we've never had, we got to do what we've never done. I'm watching y'all on Facebook. Pastor's watching. Let's be bold. Unless you don't know my personality, unless you don't know my issues, unless you don't know what I've been through, you don't know what these guys, Peter, who did this, Peter reached down, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Can I tell you, it wasn't 2 months earlier, Peter was saying, I don't even know Jesus. And now he's invoking his name to help this guy get up off his mat and walk. And you know what happened? The guy got up off his mat and walked. But you know whose part that was? That's God's part. Peter and John's part was to be aware, be willing, and be bold. And we're never going to see anybody get up off a mat and walk if we don't start here. You got a friend or a family member that's depressed. Hey, let's get in that a little bit. Let me pray for you. Jesus restored people's minds. Jesus didn't just do physical healing. There were people who were demon-possessed. One of my favorite stories is a demoniac who was hiding out in a cemetery. Jesus healed him and made him whole. That we're aware of the unwholeness of the lives of the people in our lives. That we're willing to step in and let our lives be the aroma, the fragrance, the healing that God wants to bring to them. And then we're bold to hear from God and to do what he tells us to do in that moment. To be bold. We got to have, though, yeah, I wanted to bring my diffuser. I left it at home. But we got to have the diffuser. It's the glass jar full of the oil with the sticks rising up out of it. We can't have any of this if our life is not connected to the source of Jesus. Today, I want to pray for each and every one of you. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes as we close this service? Just a couple of prayers I want to pray. The first prayer I want to pray is for those of you who are in here and you consider yourself a Christ follower, that you feel like your relationship with Jesus is solid. I mean, we all admit we could get better, but you feel like you have a firm foundation. But maybe you're here today and you haven't. Maybe the life that you've been living is not smelling like anything anybody wants. And today you just need to stir something up on the inside of you so that you can be the fragrance of Christ in the world and the arena that God's placed you in. Maybe you just pray something like this. And let me just pray over you, and you just agree or kind of pray your own prayer under your breath or something. Lord, I love you so much, and I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord, help me to be the essence, the aroma, the fragrance of your love and your salvation. In my job, where everybody just seems so depressed and so overburdened and so burnt, so beat down. Lord, help me to bring wholeness in my family who just experienced such a tragic loss and everybody feels splintered and broken. Help me to be the God light to bring the color of your healing and wholeness to that group. Lord, for those who are sick, help me to be bold to pray for them, to lay hands on them. Lord, help me to recognize I'm not responsible for the result, but I am responsible to bring the aroma, that I'm responsible to bring the faith. I'm responsible to bring the hope. I'm responsible to bring the love. I'm responsible to bring the grace. I'm responsible to bring the truth. But you're the healer, Lord. Help me to be aware. Help me to be willing. And help me to be bold. Help me to live my life fully saturated by your presence, by your word. In Jesus' name. But maybe you're in here today and you've never experienced the grace ever. I want to pray for you that maybe you've never connected your life to the life giver. That you may love God and you may love the things that he loves. But unless we have Jesus in first place in our life, the Bible calls that being born again. Just from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, that we give Jesus first place in our life. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And if you've been trusting in any other way, maybe you've been trusting in church attendance, maybe you've been trusting in good old religion, maybe you've been trusting in your grandparents' faith or your parents' faith, or maybe you've been trusting in something besides a relationship with Jesus. Today's your day to walk out of here confident in an eternal salvation and relationship with Jesus who died for you, washed you clean of your sins. That's you, and you need to pray a prayer of commitment today to follow Jesus. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to do anything to bring attention to you. We're all going to pray a prayer out loud together, and then I'll tell you what to do next. If that's you and you need to make that decision to follow Jesus, and do it on three. One, two, three. Anybody? Thank you. I see your hand. Anybody join this one? Thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, why don't we all pray this prayer out loud together? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins, for setting an example of what it looks like to be in true relationship with God. Today, I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. I will follow you. Be my Lord. Lead me and guide me. I'll never be the same. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.